If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you weekly by youbeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Waiting on Dr. Gary Ginsberg. We're getting him set up. Okay, let's bring him in. It's What's Toxic, What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. His headlines this week are there's new environmental links maybe to breast cancer. Some mercury releases are coming from melting Arctic ice. Are women's personal hygiene products a source of toxic exposure? And news from the state of Minnesota. So let's begin with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Dr. Mike, where do you want to start today?
I like the Arctic ice melt. What do we have to worry about there, and how do we protect ourselves, Gary?
Yeah, well, we normally think of climate change as maybe being some long-range, far-off issue that may flood some cities in the future or lead to malarial outbreaks because of changing mosquito populations. But this is a climate change story that I think has more immediate impacts, and that's because researchers in the Arctic have found relatively substantial levels of methyl mercury. Now, this isn't inorganic mercury. This is methyl mercury, the most toxic form, stored in the sea ice, to the point where they've made estimates that the rate at which Arctic sea ice is melting right now, that 42 kilograms a year of methyl mercury are getting into the Arctic oceans and getting into seals and other aquatic life that then local fishing populations like the Inuit Indians up near the Arctic Circle are going to be ingesting. And where does all this mercury come from, of course? It comes from coal-fired power plants. Also, to be fair to the environment, it also comes from volcanoes and forest fires. But the amount that we're putting into the atmosphere, especially countries like China that are burning so much coal, is at least double to triple what the natural inputs are in terms of mercury. So we're not talking about, this isn't a carbon story here, this is a mercury story here, but it's related to climate change because those ice caps are like a sink for methyl mercury. And is it going to affect us down here in the lower 48? Well, you know, eventually, you know, it is one big swimming pool we're all living in and one big airshed. And sure, some of the fish that we catch and get up, like some of the Arctic Alaskan salmon, sure, they could be affected by this. So, you know, the more the ice, polar ice caps melt, the greater chance there is for this mercury to get back into our food chain.
Gary, let's be real on this. What do I have? I eat a lot of Alaskan salmon. I eat Alaska salmon at least three times a week. Do yeah. I have to start worrying about this? Should I be monitoring my mercury level? Should I figure out how to monitor the mercury level in the fish I eat? What do I do?
Yeah, no, the highest mercury fish are not Alaskan salmon. If you eat a lot of Alaskan salmon, they're right now still low in mercury. They are being tested, and right now the levels have not gone up noticeably. So, but it's something that we want FDA to continue testing and market basket surveys to make sure that not only farm-raised salmon, but wild salmon, that wherever they're caught from. Now, so to get real with this, Mike, right now it's not an issue for Alaskan salmon, but it is an issue for people whose diets come from local waters and are eating a lot of some of the highest mercury levels on the planet are in people who are indigenous subsistence fishers up near the Arctic Circle, because that's where a lot of the mercury deposits in their backyard.
Gary, okay,
while you go to the next question, I'm going to just make sure that, Gary, if it ever gets to that point where I should worry about it our listeners should worry about it, you let us know.
I will. Yeah, no, we're going to be watching this one closely over time to see how the mercury levels change as those ice caps are changing.
What's going on in the state of Minnesota that has you interested?
Well, you know, I've talked about triclosan in consumer products in the past and how they represent an unnecessary exposure to an endocrine-disrupting chemical. And most people, 99% of the uses of triclosan in consumer products really don't do much. But in my mind, it's more of a marketing thing, because you could say, wow, that product is going to be antibacterial. Well, now the state of Minnesota has looked at the toxicology, has looked at the potential that this ingredient in dish soap and in toothpaste and in mouthwash have looked at the potential that it will cause antibiotic resistance bacteria, breeding bacteria that are antibiotic resistant. And they've gone beyond what FDA's warning was last December, and they said, we're banning it. That's it. You know, we don't care what the new research is. We've seen enough. First state in the country to say no to triclosan, closing the door on triclosan. The ban, though, isn't until 2017. So best case is that you live in Minnesota, and that your products will be completely triclosan-free, but that's not until January 2017, which is why we've been telling people to look for this ingredient on the label. And we know that companies like Procter & Gamble and stores like Walmart have been phasing out triclosan preemptively, so that there won't be a big consumer backlash against it. But still, it's on the shelves. It's an easy one to pick out. It's right on the label. And unless your dentist is telling you that you've got a lot of gingivitis, a lot of gum disease, and you really need it, and you enter into a conversation with your dentist about that kind of toothpaste with it, you know, most people are not going to need triclosan in their products. So this is good news for Minnesota. They've taken a bold step saying that it's actually not worth the risk.
By the way, Dr. Gary Ginsberg is going to stay with us right through the break, and at 35 minutes after the hour. Apparently, we've gotten a lot of email questions that there'd be no better answers to come from than Gary Ginsberg. So right after the break at 35 after the hour, got six email questions that Gary's expertise will be able to handle extremely well. Women's personal hygiene products, what are the issues with these, Gary?
Well, right now we don't have any evidence. I mean, why am I talking about something where there's no evidence? Because there is a bill raised in Congress right now by a Democrat from New York that is saying that FDA needs to do a better job of testing feminine hygiene products for toxic chemicals, from dioxin, which sometimes, you know, the bleached paper could contain minute traces. And the concern is that, you know, that intimate contact that, for example, a tampon might have all day might leach some of that out. And, you know, this is a theoretical concern. There could be chlorine levels in these products. And nobody has really done a holistic, complete risk assessment on what does the totality of the various chemicals that could be at such intimate contact create. So there's a bill to ask FDA to do more. Now, we knew about toxic shock syndrome, or TSS, and that wasn't from a toxic chemical. I think it's misnomer, because it was actually a bacteriological problem. Some women were having problems with tampons a number of years ago, and that was because they were super absorbent, they were staying in all day, and they were breeding bacteria, staphylococcus, that was creating a toxic reaction. Those, fortunately, have been pulled. That kind of tampon has been pulled off the market. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about other kinds of ingredients that really haven't been closely looked at. So for right now, there is no smoking gun. There isn't anything in particular that the women in the audience need to worry about, except, again, it's up to FDA, the government, to do a better job of screening. And hopefully companies are looking at what's in these products and testing them. But right now, there's no independent testing company that's saying, we know exactly what's in that that sponge or that tampon or that whatever to be able to test to the safety. So, if you can find a natural brand, it's always is a good idea to lean in that direction.
Dr. Gary Ginsberg, stay with us through the break for email questions and answers on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.